everyone, there's only so much time in the day. That's why we edited this Vermont Edition podcast for brevity. I know you'll thank us.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. As our in-person social circles have narrowed during COVID-19 and travel has been curtailed, many of us are finding companionship and adventure in books. But for local authors publishing during a pandemic, it can be hard to get new works into the hands and in front of the eyeballs of readers. So today on Vermont Edition, we thought we'd play matchmaker, connecting authors and readers, and cutting in the middleman, or middle person, while we're at it. So we're going to hear from readers and authors about the Vermont and regional books that have been coming out and that you've been reading, and we're going to hear from booksellers and librarians about how they're working to make sure this whole industry stays afloat at the local level. We've already been hearing from so many of you, and I love especially hearing from all the authors who are sharing your own challenges and joys of this strange time period. Before I introduce our guests, let's hear from one author with a new book out right now. Sarah Stewart Taylor lives in Heartland and is known by her pen name, S.S. Taylor, especially to legions of children who love her steampunk mystery series, The Expeditioners. Her new work, The Mountains Wild, is for an adult audience, and it came out in June. Sarah told us a little bit about the experience of coming out with a new book during lockdown.
As we started to see where things were headed in March and April, it was scary, I think, for everyone who had a book coming out in the spring or summer. But it was absolutely amazing to me how quickly everybody pivoted and figured out solutions to this problem, and figured out how to get books into readers' hands. I was just absolutely blown away by the ingenuity of my book publicist, and of all of the amazing independent bookstores in Vermont and around the country who figured out how to do virtual events. And, you know, I think for some of us, the learning curve was steep, but we figured it out. And some of these events have been just so much fun and have included so many people around the country. The Mountains Wild is the first in a new series, and it features Maggie Darcy, my detective, who in the first time period I focus on in the book, 1993, is a recent college graduate who is living on Long Island and working at her uncle's bar when her beloved cousin Erin goes missing in the Wicklow Mountains. Maggie goes to Ireland to see if she can figure out what happened to Erin, but she can't find any trace of her. And then in 2016, new evidence is found in Erin's case, and Maggie returns to Ireland to see if she can solve this case once and for all. The book really combines my love of crime fiction, my deep love of Ireland and Irish history and culture, and of the Long Island settings where I grew up. And despite publishing it in a pandemic, it's been a great experience, and I'm grateful to all the readers who have read The Mountains Wild. Thanks, Vermont Edition.
And thanks, Sarah Stewart Taylor. And we're joined now by Sandy Scott, co-owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Jane. Thanks so much for having me on.
It's always such a pleasure to do this show, although I feel tremendous guilt about all the books I have not yet read. And we're also joined today by Barbara Ball, director of the Windsor Library. Nice to meet and talk with you, Barbara.
Hi, Jane. I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
So absolve me of my guilt, Barbara. Are you, is it okay not to have read during the pandemic when you're, doing childcare and work and all the rest?
It is totally okay. You've got to be taking care of yourself right now. Sometimes reading helps with that, and sometimes reading is more than it can be managed. So that's fine.
Have you been reading more, Barbara?
I have been reading probably as much.
As much. Yes, you do it a lot to begin with, I imagine.
I like to read.
Sandy, what about you? Reading more, reading less?
It's hard to say. I think in some ways I've been reading less, but I tend to read less during the summer anyway, to be honest. The bulk of my reading happens in January and February when it's cold and I just want to stay inside and things kind of quiet down. But no, I don't fault anybody for not reading, because you just don't have the time or energy for it. That happens to all of us.
Yes, it's such a strange time. Are you noticing, Sandy, though, that there may be either new or different readers, or that some of your local patrons who you know well are coming in and picking up different books? Or are people tending to go back to the things that give them comfort all the time?
Yeah, there's definitely a variety. I definitely noticed during the months that we were kind of locked down, we were not open to the public, but we were still open for business. So we were doing curbside pickup and mail orders, and we sold a ton of classics. So it felt like people were saying, oh, I have time to read, and maybe I'm going to catch up on those books that I always meant to read, but I haven't gotten to. And then, you know, over the summer, we've continued to sell lots of fiction, but also we're seeing a lot of interest in all of the current political books that have been coming out over the past couple of months.
I bet. Barbara Ball, will you give us one of your recommendations that you think people, if they haven't heard of it yet, from a local author, should pick it up?
Oh, excellent. Oh, so local author stuff. Let me see. Archer Mayer just came out with a new one, Bomber's Moon from 2020. What's not to love about a new date with adventure from Southern Vermont's own Archer Mayer and Inspector Joe Gunther. I think this is like his 30th book.
Yeah. And he said the challenge has not been necessarily publishing during the pandemic, but, you know, I read his Gunthergrams. He said it's been challenging to do research for the book that he's currently working on because he likes to go on location and do research, and travel is hard right now.
Right. Here in Windsor, Joseph A. Citro has three books that are coming out or have come out this year in 2020. Shadow Child, his first novel from 1987, has been republished this year. An enhanced and expanded version of the Vermont Ghost Guide will be released by Christmas. And the Vermont Monster Guide has been reprinted and is available now. And October is the perfect season for the exploring Joe Citro's books and perhaps the creepy underbelly of peculiar happenings in Vermont.
I love the Monster Guide. I have the original version of it, not the new reprint. And I read it to my kids, who like spooky things a lot more than I do. So they find it very intriguing to hear about Vermont monsters. I would have thought maybe they'd find it scary, but as 4- and 6-year-olds, apparently, spooky is good, and so the more
awesome.
The merrier. Sandy, what about you? What's a recommendation from you?
Well, if you're looking for spooky books for middle grade readers, I would definitely recommend Catherine Arden's books, Small Spaces and Dead Voices. To be honest, I don't read scary books, and I read these, and they kind of gave me the creeps. But I think for middle grade readers who are much braver than I am, they're absolutely terrific. Really great Halloween reading.
Yeah, and Catherine Arden has really taken off in the last few years, sort of one of the new generation of beloved children's authors.
Yes, she started off with, I believe, the Winter Night trilogy for adults, which is fantasy based in Russian folklore. But her middle grade novels have also gotten a really wide audience. And I am the children's book buyer for the store, so I tend to lean into children's books. So I wanted to recommend another middle grade novel by a woman named Daphne Kalmar, who lives in Hardwick. And her book that came out this August is called Stealing Mount Rushmore.
Hmm.
It was one of the books that was delayed. It was supposed to come out in March or April, I believe, and the publisher decided to push it off to August. So we were able to have Daphne come and do an outdoor, socially distanced event to celebrate the book coming out, and it's set in 1974 during Nixon's impeachment trial, which was really interesting because when I read the book originally, the impeachment trial was going on here and now, and so it felt very timely. And it's really about this 13-year-old girl who is kind of teetering between being a child and being an adult and not feeling quite comfortable in either world. And Daphne was a teacher for about 20 years or so and just really, really captures the essence, I think, of that time in a person's life. My 9-year-old read the book, and after she finished it, she said, "I just wish that this story were true because I would love to be friends with Nell, the main character." And and I also fell in love with Nell. So that's one of my favorite books that I read this year.
That's the best and the worst part of reading a book. First of all, when it's over, but also when you just, you know, you find a friend and you want to have more adventures with that friend. What a wonderful thing for a 9-year-old to be experiencing. Wonderful and heartbreaking. We have actually more children's book recommendations from people who've been writing them. Adam Ford in East Wallingford says, "I'd like to recommend my own self-published children's book called Rider, Sky, and Emmeline." Or Emmeline. It's about three young children who spend a day on a farm. It's based on three families that I know who live in Vermont, two of whom are farmers. Phoenix Books in Rutland is carrying a few copies, but it and my other books are available on Amazon as well. Ashley Wolf says, "This June, my newest book, Only the Cat Saw, was published. The irony is that it was first published in 1985. It is a rare and lucky event for a book to find a brand new audience 35 years later. That means I did the original artwork in 1984. My new young editor in La Jolla wanted me to redo the illustrations with people, but I insisted on redoing the whole book. The text stayed nearly the same, and my most Vermont-centric book is back in print." And Jan Reynolds says, "I have a new book that came out in late September, The Lion Queens of India, for kids. It is a positive environmental message with the success of bringing back an endangered species, the Asiatic lion. And women of color are the heroes. These women are rangers for wild lions that used to roam from Europe through Asia. Africa is certainly not the only place historically where we found lions. The only place on the planet to find the Asiatic lion is in Gir, India, where I went to explore the forest and find the lions with the first female ranger, Rashila. They have brought the remaining 12 lions up to over 600. And here's a local entrepreneur who's starting a new venture writing and publishing diverse children's books.
My name is Akshita Nayak, and I've started a new business based in Vermont called Little Pataka, P-A-T-A-K-H-A. Little Pataka means a small firecracker that burns bright. The idea behind it is simple. All babies are scientists. They're curious. They want to learn. So imagery and concepts that are introduced early on to kids have a deep impact on their development and personalities. This is the best time to introduce them to diverse worlds, sounds, and people, so that in their curiosity, they learn about differences rather than be wary of it. As the mom of a little 2.5-year-old biracial girl, and given our current environment, I felt like this was a good time to work on this and create a community where these differences are understood and normalized. One of the best ways to learn about other cultures and people is to learn languages. I'm from India. I couldn't find a single children's book for my daughter in my native language of Konkani, and so I set out to make one for her. Konkani is a language that doesn't have its own unique script, unlike most other Indian languages that do. So this was a way for me to help preserve a language for future generations as well, and I look forward to working with other languages like this also. This book is also being translated into Hindi, a language spoken by a much larger portion of the Indian subcontinent as well as Indians worldwide. This is an introductory book with an immersive experience, introducing 30 words with fun illustrations and full phonetics so that even those who might not know the language can still learn and teach it. I am thrilled and very excited about this because there aren't many books out there that do this the way we have. I'm calling these books Planets because they are a small introduction into a big universe of that language and culture.
And again, Akshata Nayak's new venture is called Little Pataka. It sounds really interesting, and I am fascinated by that new book of hers. Let's go to Alexis Dubief in Essex Junction. Hi, Alexis.
Hi, how are you, Jane?
Great, how are you? You got a new book out.
I do.
Tell us about it.
It's the second edition of my book, Precious Little Sleep, The Complete Baby Sleep Guide for Modern Parents. I was grateful to actually be interviewed by you when it launched 3 years ago. It has sold over 70,000 copies worldwide and been translated into multiple languages, and it was time for an update.
So why now is it a good time for people to be picking up a parenting book when their anxiety is probably already through the roof?
Well, anxiety is through the roof. Postpartum depression is through the roof. And honestly, sleep and well-being has never been more important. And us, a lot of small parents of small children are working from home while also parenting an infant or a toddler. Many daycares have closed. So that nap time, which has always been precious, has been more precious than it is right now. And the only way that we can really manage our anxiety and our emotions, or even like have a hope to do that successfully, is if we're sleeping well. So being desperately sleep deprived while wrestling with all of the big feelings of the pandemic is a recipe for disaster.
All right. So give us the name of the book again for people who are saying, oh, this is one that I need.
Oh, sure. It's Precious Little Sleep.
Thanks for telling us about it, Alexis, and congratulations. And just to be clear, Alexis is talking about nap times for young people, not for adults, although I would say, you know, nap time is probably essential for many of us these days as well. Mary Ide is calling in from Brattleboro. Mary, you also have a new book out?
Well, yes, we have a book, and I'm speaking for 30 authors who have contributed to a book about the history, literary history of Brattleboro and the publishing and printing history. It's really a conglomeration of many authors, many viewpoints, looking at the incredibly intense importance and importance of Brattleboro in the literary world. So this will come out in November, and it started a project with 30 authors. You can imagine, especially during COVID, all the logistics. But we're just about ready to go to press, and Vermont Historical Society will be publishing it. And if you're more interested, you can go to the Brattleboro, all one word, BrattleboroWords.org. This has been a three-year initiative, which started off with a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. So I think it'll be pretty interesting, pretty unique. We start back from the late 1700s up to today and digital literary and other initiatives relating to words.
Mary, it sounds wonderful. And again, I believe it's called Print Town, Brattleboro's Legacy of Words.
Right.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for telling us about it. And good luck with the launch. We know it's been even harder than normal to get word out about a new book, so we've invited authors to send us audio clips talking a little bit about their work or what it's been like to publish right now. Politician-turned-poet Scudder Parker shared his reflections on what it's like to come out with a new book when you can't gather to celebrate in person. His new work of collected poetry is called Safe as Lightning.
It was released June 9th by Rootstock Publishing in Montpelier, Vermont. It's hard to believe that was just 3 months ago. I had planned readings in bookstores, libraries, wherever I could. Well, you can imagine what happened to those plans. My book launch became a Zoom event sponsored by Rootstock and our wonderful local bookstore, Bear Pond Books in Montpelier. While at first it felt strange to greet people by internet video, it was a gift to have over 150 participants from all over Vermont and the country and from different parts of my life as they popped on and off the screen with greetings and memories and questions. Safe as Lightning is a collected works of poems about my childhood, family, spiritual search in gardens and wilderness. It's about my companionship both with humans and other amazing partners in this life. It shares glimpses, tells longer stories, pokes fun at my preoccupations, and invites readers to open their hearts to each other and our frighteningly perishable world. It's full of delight and sadness. I hope you will get this book, explore it, and read it. Ask for it at your local independent bookstore or the library or at Amazon. My website is scudderparker.net. Thank you for listening.
And the book, again, is called Safe as Lightning. We have other poetry to recommend as well. Colin says, just a quick note to highlight our double gem here in West Windsor. Peter Money, noted poet and now prose writer, recently published a new novel. Oh, this one's not poetry, but he is a poet. Anyway, the new novel by Peter Money is called Oh, When the Saints. The novel is set in Dublin. There are echoes of Joyce here, paired with contemporary plot lines about college students and their intermingled lines. It's a one-of-a-kind read, told with Peter's unique sensibility and style and his poetic touch. What's more, Peter is our librarian, working hard to serve his community during these difficult times and breathe new life into our beloved little public resource, the Mary Blood Library. Here is some poetry. Alice in East Dorset says, I've just had a book of poetry published by Kelsey Books titled Apples and Stones, lyric and narrative poems set mainly in southern Vermont where I live. The title poem, Apples and Stones, is about the aftermath of Tropical Storm Irene. Laura says, I want to write in and tell you that I'm reading a poignant and beautifully written book called Made Holy by local author Emily Arneson Casey. The prose are beautifully written and personal. The themes of generational addiction and motherhood are difficult and yet very relevant and important for our culture. Wiley also recommends this book and says it's been very helpful in remembering the impermanence of places and the imprint they leave on our memories. Fran adds, Emily Casey is a treasure among us, having written a book of great lyrical power and candor straight from the bone. It deals in part with her struggle with addiction from a very young age and tells much more about the life of young woman growing up in America, about the making of an artist, about her life and challenges as a mother, wife, and writer, all told fearlessly in gorgeous prose and somehow laying bare the American zeitgeist. And finally, about this same book, Made Holy, Jessie says, I love the way her vivid description of place brings me to a different world. And let's go now to Nathan Pillings, who's calling in from Ripton. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for having me.
Go right ahead. What are you recommending? Your own work or someone else's?
Yeah, so this is actually a self-published book from my father, that's Charles Billings, titled A History of Ripton. He's on volume one, that's out now, and you can get it at the Vermont Bookstore in Middlebury or the Ripton Country Store. We're a small little town just east of Middlebury, and he chronicles the whole town's history from 1781 to 1981 in this volume, and he's working on kind of a more present version for volume two right now.
Sounds cool. So it's History of Ripton. Nathan, thank you very much. Tell us your father's name again.
Yep, that's Charles Billings.
Charles Billings. That sounds great. Let's turn now to Heather Wolf in Woodstock. Heather, you're an author calling in as well, yeah?
Thank you. I just published a book last month, September, called Sustainable Kitchen, Recipes and Inspiration for Plant-Based, Planet-Conscious Meals. And it's a cookbook that is a comprehensive healthy eating resource with more than 140 vegetarian recipes and a lot of robust nutrition, culinary, and sustainability information.
Sounds great. So Sustainable Kitchen is what it's called? Sounds fabulous. Thank you. Another call here, Charlotte Dennett in Burlington, another author as well, right, Charlotte?
Yeah. Hi there. Oh, I'm so glad you're doing this. It's been tough for us authors. My book came out in April, and I had to have all my author tours canceled. And I'm relying a lot on Zoom and podcasts. But I just want to say not many Vermonters know that my book has come out. I got a review in 7 days that was delightful. It was just very short, but it mentioned my book as being part Thomas Friedman and Tom Clancy in that it's both an investigative piece. I mean, I investigate the death of my father, who was the first master spy in the Middle East. And I tell this story, and in doing, I weave through the whole history of the Middle East from the point of view of oil and pipelines. So the name of the book is The Crash of Flight 3804. That's the crash that killed my father. Subtitle: A Lost Spy, A Daughter's Quest, and the Deadly Politics of the Great Game for Oil. If you read this book, you'll finally understand the Middle East.
That's saying something, Charlotte. If you read this book, you'll finally understand the Middle East. Was that what you were setting out to do while also telling this personal story?
It was, in fact, what I really wanted to do was to show the oil and pipeline connection to endless wars, which have been absolutely devastating. I mean, the horrific loss of life and the destruction of homes and whole cities. It's just horrendous. It finally got me going. I've done the research on this for decades, but I finally got it out. And then wouldn't you know what happened in the middle of the pandemic? So I hope Vermonters, hey, I love you. I love Vermont. Please spread the word on my book.
Charlotte, thank you very much for sharing it with us today. It's called The Crash of Flight 3804, and Charlotte Dennett is the author. Thank you very much for sharing that. Barbara Ball and Sandy Scott are still with us, although we have so many people calling in with recommendations for books they've read or so many books that have been written by Vermont authors. And I think we did a show maybe 10 years ago now that said Vermont has the highest per capita number of authors in the United States. So this is not exactly a surprise. But Barbara Ball, I mean, so many authors with so many books. There's just such a wealth of reading that all of us could be doing with just local authors.
We're so lucky to be living in Vermont and to have so many resources and so many bright, creative people here. It's really cool.
How have you, as the director of the Windsor Library, been trying to, you know, sort of stay relevant in your community, get books out to people who need them, be creative, and sort of still stay connected to all of the readers who rely on you?
I mean, well, we have been... We have actually opened our doors now by appointment, but people are coming in pretty much. You can knock and have a same day, same moment appointment. We are doing curbside delivery. Our ebooks and audiobooks have gone way up. And we've we've been doing lots of backyard programming, lots of Zoom programming, just whatever we can to get to the people.
What is backyard?
And to get the library out of the community.
Yeah, what's backyard?
The Windsor Library has a big backyard.
Oh, so you've just been having live outdoor events.
Yeah, we have seats, and we have encouraged people to bring their own seats, sit 6 feet apart, wear masks, and yeah, we were able to have some, you know, smaller gatherings back here.
We got a note from Kate in Middlebury who wants to tout the importance of supporting local organizations and says, here's the thing. It's a very tricky time to publish a book right now. In-person book signings are out, speaking engagement canceled. One can do Zoom interviews and Zoom readings, but it's not the same as being in a room with people, reading, and then answering questions. And we need to support these authors. It's really important for us to buy the books right now at our local bookstores. I have been completely impressed by the service at my local bookstore, the Vermont Bookshop, where I have done all of my pandemic book ordering instead of through Amazon. During the early days of the lockdown, the Vermont Bookshop even delivered books in person. The Vermont Bookshop has also been hampered by the fact that downtown Middlebury has been undergoing some significant blockages and construction because of a big rail project there. And so it's been real challenging for all of the downtown businesses, and the Vermont Bookshop has been pretty vocal about that. Sandy Scott, what about for you at the Galaxy Bookshop? Are you doing okay?
Yeah, we have a wonderfully supportive community, and we're so grateful for that. We were able to pivot pretty quickly in March, and we also have a wonderful regional trade association and a national trade association, both super supportive and have been really helpful to us through this time. We were able to get our website up and running so that we could sell online, and that's continued. We were able to do curbside pickup, and we were able to become like a mail order business, which was not easy. But it was a way that we could keep getting books to people. And I also wanted to mention Scudder Parker's publisher, Rootstock Publishing, has been a really great company to connect. You know, they're publishing, I think, exclusively Vermont authors. I could be wrong about that, but they're definitely connecting Vermont authors with bookstores and with readers, and they're doing a really great job of it.
Yeah, lots of people trying to find creative ways to make sure that we can all get our hands on books, that authors are being supported, but that also booksellers and bookstores and local ones especially are able to stay with us, so that when we're all able to visit in person in higher concentrations, that they'll be there for us. Let's talk with Samantha Kolber, who's calling in from Montpelier. Sam, you're both a bookshop worker and an author.
Yes. Hi, Jane. Thank you. I love the show. This is great. Everything that's being talked about is fantastic to let readers know about the challenges of not only reading books, but publishing books and writing books during the pandemic. I want to thank Kate for her comment in Middlebury about urging people to buy local. It's really so important right now. As a speaking from my hat as the bookseller, I work at Bear Pond Books. I'm the sales and marketing and events coordinator. Now, events, as you've heard, have gone virtual. And while they're great at community building because people from all over can sign in from anywhere, what we found as a bookstore is that book sales are actually down during virtual events. Whereas if we had an event in the store, more people would be buying the book, getting it signed, doing that kind of thing. But as far as local shopping goes, as Sandy said, you know, everybody's doing either delivery or curbside pickup or shipping, and you can order online. And there's one thing to keep in mind for holiday shopping, something that Bear Pond is promoting, and I think all the bookstores are promoting. It's national through all the independent bookstores. It's called October is the New December. And really, that's encouraging people to do their holiday shopping now, just because of shipping delays, even printing delays. We're seeing with the pandemic that supply chains are moving a little slower, and that, you know, could be because of staffing. You know, I also work for Rootstock Publishing. I want to thank Sandy for the shout out there, too. And we are seeing on the production side, when we send a book to the printer, it's now taking longer for it to be printed and shipped to us. We have, I think our printer is in Kentucky, and I think that's because of staffing issues. I think people are, you know, at minimized capacity because of COVID regulations, you know, not having too many people in an indoor space at one time. And so because things are delayed, shoppers and readers should keep that in mind if they want to get their books by the holidays for gifts, that they should be doing their shopping now.
Oh, that's important to note. Samantha, I want to make sure that we get a chance for you to tell us about your new chapbook as well.
Sure. I'm also an author. I have many hats in the literary world. I'm a poet and author, and my debut chapbook just came out with Kelsey Books. It's called Birth of a Daughter, Poems About Pregnancy and Motherhood. One of your other callers, I think, or maybe it was you, mentioned there's a book about postpartum depression. Oh, the author of The Sleepless, Precious Little Sleep. So, yeah, I remember those. My daughter's now 4. But many of these poems are written when she was younger, about breastfeeding in the middle of the night and being woken up and being tired. And a lot of these poems were written while I was going through postpartum depression. Although none of the poems actually say that, I think there's a tone that you can feel that it's quite a hard journey for people to go through being a mother and being up all night and all the demands. And so the poems really deal with the demands of motherhood, but also with my own shifting identity, and especially about having a daughter. I also have a son, and I just found that parenting felt different. And whether it was because I was reflecting on, you know, you see your daughter and you might see your own mother, you know, in some of the genes there. And so I have poems about like a matrilineal lineage of mothers and daughters.
Well, it sounds wonderful. And again, Samantha Colbert, it's called Birth of a Daughter, right?
Yes, it's available everywhere books are sold. And it's also at Bear Pond Books. And if you buy it at Bear Pond Books, I will sign it and personalize it.
Well, how's that? I mean, how can anybody resist a signed copy? Samantha Colbert, thank you very much for talking with us and telling us about your book and about your work at the bookshop. Emily writes in to say, I'd like to recommend a Vermont trans author who has self-published a couple of great novels, M.Z. McDonnell. The first, Micah and Aramed, is a utopian story set about 90 years in the future in Vermont in a post-fossil fuel society. The second, Cynic the Seer, a trilogy of which only the first book has so far been released, is an epic fantasy story set in ancient Ireland about a trans person's journey to becoming a well-respected druid and prophet. Julie Lynn says, I have found so much joy and escape, both from the constant Zooms and from my house, by stopping by some of the used book sales that local libraries have been hosting. Proceeds from the sales go to support these much-needed local institutions. And McKenna Goodman says, I've been crossing the border to Hanover, New Hampshire every time I can to support Still North Books and Bar, who opened last January, right before COVID, and yet have sold over 70 copies of my debut novel, The Shame, which came out in August. By hand-selling and getting the word out, I am so grateful. McKenna also gets a shout-out from Mitch Wertlieb, who recommends The Shame. Mitch also says Atomizer by Elizabeth Powell is poetry that resonates in the age of COVID. Universe of Two by Stephen Kiernan is historical fiction about one of the real-life engineers who worked on the Manhattan Project, leading to the creation of the atomic bomb during World War II. And The Shame, a debut novel by McKenna Goodman about one woman's plunge into online obsession with an idealized other and the conflicting demands of modern motherhood in a society that still prioritizes the needs of men over women. Sam Clark from Plainfield sent us a little teaser for his forthcoming new novel, The Inland Sea, which comes out in December.
It's a mystery novel set in the sequestered northeast corner of Lake Champlain, known as the Inland Sea. It's a wonderful place to be and an evocative place to set a story. The book is about people who spent their life there. A successful young minister, Paul Brearley, part owner of Osprey Island, has spent all of his summers there. But in 1990, he disappears and is presumed drowned. In 2008, though, his body is found in a campground on nearby Burton Island, shot dead, propped up against the wall of a lean-to as if resting from a long walk. Fred Davis, the detective in charge, grew up on a South Hero farm and knows the lake intimately. As the story unwinds, he and the reader learns that the origins of the story go back further to a single moment, a boating accident in 1972. The COVID epidemic, of course, makes it harder to do readings and other events, but there seems to be all sorts of new opportunities being created by publishers, writers, and bookstores. Maybe a virtual bookstore reading will attract more interest and more participants than a traditional book signing. We'll be trying all those ideas, but I hope soon also to be able to do some events up on the islands, in person, maybe outside. Thanks.
Sam Clark's new book comes out December 1st. It's called The Inland Sea. And let's go to Randy Krakowski in Whiting. Hi, Randy.
Hello, bonjour, as we say in Potawatomi. Greetings.
Greetings. Tell us about your book.
My book, Without Reservation, Awakening to Native American Spirituality and the Ways of Our Ancestors, is published by Inner Traditions over the mountain in Rochester and was just released in September. It is about awakening to ancestral connections and intimate connections with our forest kin, eagles, hawks, clay wolves here in Vermont and across the border in Quebec province.
Randy, it sounds wonderful. It's called Without Reservation, yes?
Yes.
Thank you very much for sharing a little bit about it. It sounds like a great read. Let's go to Jack Dennis, who's calling in from Johnson. Jack, you're also an author, right?
Yes, I am.
Tell us about your book.
Well, the book, I have a second memoir coming out, but The Mouse in the Lemon Tree came out in 17. The way we do these, my publisher was in Maine, but he had sick in the family, and they are now down in West Liberty, West Virginia. So for a while, we were out of style. But The Mouse in the Lemon Tree is a story about a mouse who lives in a lemon tree in an orange grove. There's only one lemon tree, and it's at the edge of the grove. And he lives there, and he's quite frightened because he lives there all by himself, and everything scares him. But he struggles with things, and different creatures come to assist him. And we created it as a video. The way we do these is we create the video, and then we pull the book off of the video. It's something that Primavera worked out. And so we have the video, and we are not selling the video yet since 2017, but we will be. But we are selling the book. It's on Amazon. And that second one called Where's Shara is about a lady mouse who visits there and falls out of the tree and lands in front of a cat and disappears. And so the mouse, in his great fears, goes off to save her.
Well, it sounds wonderful, Jack. Thank you for sharing both of those book titles. And The Mouse and the Lemon Tree especially sounds wonderful and interesting and out now. So looking forward to looking at that. That's Jack Dennis. So many people to talk to and hear from today. So many wonderful books to look into. I want to just recommend one as well here from Kathleen Monroe in Barnet, who's talking about her own book. She says, I authored a book entitled Legends of Barnet, Vermont, Culture and Curiosity of a Small Vermont Town. 4.5 years in the researching and writing, it came out July 4th, and to date, 558 copies have been sold. In the pandemic, the usual book launch could not be held. Libraries were closed, so author visits had to be virtual. Peacham Library had an author Zoom. The book has found its way to 24 states and 2 provinces. I've been more than pleased with the response. Readers have expressed amazing pleasure with Legends. And this is cool. So Kevin in Reigate wrote in and also recommends this book. Kevin says, I'm a book designer in the Northeast Kingdom, and says that this book, it's called, again, Legends of Barnet. Kevin says, this is one of the most fascinating books to come my way in a great while. It is a meticulously researched work of freestanding chapters, each of which delve into great detail into some of the most intriguing aspects of Barnet's history. In addition to the fascinating investigative detail, this book features dozens of historic images. Although centered on events and people associated with Barnet, Vermont's past, this book does a superb job of examining these subjects within their regional, national, and even worldwide contexts and their relevance to present time. Legends of Barnet, Vermont is a unique and thoroughly engaging offering from Ms. Monroe. What about you? What are you reading? What are you writing? What do you want to tell us about? I don't know if we'll be able to get to all of the recommendations, but we're going to post as many of them as we can on our show page at vpr.org. Let's go now to J.C. Myers, who's calling in from Calais. Hi, J.C.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I wrote my debut novel called Junkyard at No Town. I live in Maple Corner in Calais. The book in 2019 won the Independent Publishers of New England Best Literary Fiction Award, and it won the American Book Fest 2019 Best Book Award. Willem Lang calls the book every bit as engaging as Howard Frank Mosher's Disappearances. It's a novel about a young guy who moves to Vermont during the early 80s, the Reagan era, from sort of suburban New York, and buys a 10-acre junkyard near a place called No Town. The book is called Junkyard at No Town, and it's it's partly from an English major, but I also have worked in a firewood business and worked construction, and I'm a born and raised Vermonter, so the advantage of a real genuine view of Vermont country life. And it involves mystery and somewhat the mystical qualities of No Town itself. It's a tough time to get books out, but I'm hoping folks will have a look at that. And if you wanted to look at some of the readings or hear some of the reviews or comments on the book, I have a website at jcmyers.com that you can check out.
Sounds great. jcmyers.com, and the book is Junkyard at No Town. Oh, I want to get to everybody, and I'm so afraid we're not going to be able to get to everybody here, but Robert and Barry, you've been waiting for a long time, so if you don't mind quickly telling us about your book, I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, it's called If I Die Before I Wake, Caregiver's Journey, and my pen name is Eli Shaw. The website is authorelishaw.com, and basically it's a 60-year journey of my experiences as a caregiver from the time I was 10 years old to the present, and includes some of the issues that are going on right now with COVID, and deals with death and resolve after death for families and whatnot, and we're the whole issue of legacy. I worked with HIV people who were HIV positive, and eventually adopted a son whose mother died of AIDS. One of the issues there was that most of the people who were dying in those days, it was a death sentence, And their biggest concern was that they didn't want to be considered a number or a statistic, and they wanted to learn how, or they wanted to be able to leave a legacy of some sort. So I created a program called Legacy, which is in the book, and it deals with learning how you would be remembered if you died, and then finding out what you would like to be remembered as when you die.
Robert, that sounds wonderful. I'm only going to cut you off, not because I'm not interested, but because we're so short on time, and repeat the name of your book for those people who may have missed it. If I Die Before I Wake, A Caregiver's Journey. And Robert's pen name is Eli Shaw. Barbara and Sandy, boy, so many people to talk to. I feel like I've shortchanged you and your expertise. But Sandy, can you give us one more title really fast of something you think Vermonters should read?
Sure. I'm going to recommend Crosscut by Sean Prentice, which is a book of poetry. And I'm so glad that you were able to showcase all of those Vermont authors. And thanks to everyone who supports their local stories and authors.
Yeah, that's Sandy Scott, co-owner of the Galaxy Bookshop in Hardwick. It's been such a pleasure to have you and to celebrate these Vermont authors. Barbara Ball, last recommendation from you?
Oh, I'm so excited that Julia Alvarez just came out with Afterlife. It's her first book in 14 years. She's the one that wrote How the Garcia Girls Lost Their Accents, so it's thrilling that she's back with a new book.
Yeah, maybe first book for adults, because we've talked with her about some of her books for children that have come out in between there, but I'm very excited about that one as well. Thanks so much, Barbara. That's Barbara Ball, director of the Windsor Library. And listeners and authors and bookshop sellers, thank you so much for sharing your expertise and your knowledge with us today. So many books to read, so little time. You can continue to share yours by going to the VPR Facebook page and check back at our website at vpr.org to find recommendations of what came out today.